Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good to have you in studio once again. And you are changing subjects this week to something that is one of the main questions people come when they come to you. And they say, Paul, we need to have an easy transition.
Yeah,
we want our
right.
family to have no complications when we pass away. Is an easy transition, other than, I guess, from life to death or death to life, that can
right.
be a transition. But
that is
not
a transition
talking about
as
that
well.
Kind of transition.
No, we are not. No, as a matter of fact, this topic is probably one of the heavy hitters that most clients walk in and say, this is one of my highest values. I serve a rather large client base, and really this specific wording or this specific issue is one of the highest values, if not the highest value,
really?
For most people who walk in.
Well, come in and say, I want it to be easy.
Yeah.
My family.
I want to make sure. And another word for easy maybe is a smooth. So an easy
okay.
transition, a
okay.
smooth transition. In other words, I don't want to leave a mess behind.
Okay.
And I really want to make sure that if I exit this life, or actually if I need assistance during my life, because there's really two types of transitions that I'm always talking about, is that estate planning needs to cover what happens should you experience a disability and incapacitation. In other words, you need assistance during your lifetime. So that's the first transition that we always need to be aware of. And then the other transition that most people think about when they talk about estate planning is, well, I'm going to die. It's my turn to go meet my Savior face to face. And so that transition is going to be quite glorious. But how have we prepared to make sure that everything here on earth is left behind in a very systematic, easy to follow, smooth transition format, and it really becomes one of the biggest deals to clients of mine.
Yeah.
And so we want to start talking about, well, how do we then make a smooth transition for those that we leave behind? Because we can do it. So there is good news here today, which is this is absolutely undeniably possible. But the problem is that most people are still stuck in no motion. They're stuck in, I don't want to deal with the topic, or I think I've done it in the past, and so it's probably still good enough. So there's many reasons why we end up having a poor transition when somebody passes away.
Or the other plan, which is there is no plan at all.
Or there's no plan at all.
Half the people at least.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so statistically, more than half of Americans have no plan whatsoever. So so that's probably the poorest plan that we can have, is nothing whatsoever. Even if I only have $100,000 or $50,000, well, are we going to plan for an easy transition both during your lifetime and should you pass away with that sum? So it's really not about how much. It's always about, are you prepared? So, and the other mentality shift here that I really want to bring to the forefront in this conversation is, so I don't have much money at all. So I have a person who lives paycheck to paycheck, or I'm older and I've gone through my savings and I really don't have much in my bank account. So then why do I need, Paul, to think about an easy transition? Because if you don't have any legal documents whatsoever and you experience a catastrophic health issue, if you experience a long-term disability, then that is a transition for those who are coming in to assist you. So I talk a lot about your bank accounts really don't matter. You are your greatest asset. And so we need to protect you as an individual first. Then we start talking about how do we assist your family. Then we actually get into money. And so notice the progression. You are the first order of priority. Then number two, how do we prepare your family? Then number three, we talk about money. So just to talk about the issue of, my bank account is not that full. that is a third step in the process of a smooth transition. So step one is you're the most valuable asset that you have. And so therefore, we need to make sure you're well taken care of. And we don't want to leave a mess if someone needs to assist me either. So without proper preparation, without some type of motion forward, then actually every individual who is listening to my voice right now, if you have no estate plan, then you are setting yourself and your family up for possibly an unknown disaster. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would rather not find out. And so let's be prepared.
Okay, well then what are the basic legal documents that need to be in place for sure?
Yeah, so every individual needs four or five major documents. So the first one is that we always need a will or a trust. So those are our disposition documents. Now, a trust also has a living component. It's called a revocable living trust. So there's always instructions about what I just talked about, which is, what happens if I need assistance during my lifetime? However, on the reverse side, a will is just a death document. So what happens to my stuff should I pass away? Who gets what and what are the court instructions? So a trust also deals with those items, which is who gets what after I've passed away. But it also adds the component of making sure that my finances are utilized in a proper way during my lifetime should someone else be managing my assets. I'm not talking about managing like a financial advisor. I mean managing such as someone else has control over the finances, to spend the finances, to invest or to cash out, to sell a home, that type of managing. So a trust utilizes two components, which is during my lifetime I need assistance, and at death, how do I transition? A will is just a death document, and it directs us to who gets what your property.
The will doesn't help you in life?
That's an accurate statement. Okay. It does not. Hmm. So that brings us to the next document. Hmm. So whether you have a will or a trust, you always need a financial power of attorney. Okay. And so so a financial power of attorney is a document that if you experience a time where you need assistance, a financial power of attorney gives access to your accounts that are in your personal name. Now, in a trust scenario, the trust holds all your assets, so the successor trustee would manage that. And by the way, they would follow the instructions that we've set up, which is what I was just talking about. So there's better safety mechanisms, in my opinion, for utilizing a trust during your lifetime. Now, a trust also needs a financial power of attorney because you're still going to have things in your own name. So, for example, in Washington State, if you have children, then I don't put vehicles into a trust. So that's an example. And also, we never put IRAs in a trust. So an IRA must always stay in your personal name, whether you use a will or whether you use a trust.
Why is that?
Well, because if I try to put an IRA, so a tax-deferred account of any type, a 401, a Roth IRA, a traditional IRA, a 401k, any account that is tax-deferred, then IRS law says if we transfer that, then you have to pay the taxes right away. So that's a bad day. Okay, that's called malpractice, and I don't want to do that. So therefore, a tax-deferred account must always remain in your personal name. And therefore, if it's in your personal name, we will rely upon a financial power of attorney. In addition, you have bills. Those stay in your personal name. Have you ever tried to deal with Comcast if your name is not on the account?
Right.
It is a mitigated disaster, as if they're a national security system.
Right.
It's atrocious. So if you work for Comcast, fix that. Be nicer. however, credit cards are in your name, and we all need to sign a tax return every year. And so if I'm unable to sign my name, someone has to have legal authority to act on my behalf. So that's what a financial power of attorney is doing. And it doesn't matter whether you use a will or a trust as your disposition document or as the foundation of your estate plan. Everyone needs a financial power of attorney.
What name do they sign? Are they forging then the person's signature, or are they saying this is John Smith for John Doe?
Yeah, different people go different ways. Oh. You know, some attorneys would say sign the individual's name, and then at the bottom you say signed by Paul Grant, comma, power of attorney. Other people would say, go ahead and sign Paul Grant and then comma as power of attorney for, John Doe. And so both of them would equate to the same thing. I tend to lean upon signing my own name and using a comma saying on behalf of or under the authority of. And so that, but both of them work, and attorneys would go back and forth on which way is actually proper. So that's a financial power of attorney. So that's document number two that everyone needs. The first one is a will or a trust. And the second one is a financial power of attorney. So the other document that everybody needs in order to make a smooth transition, because that's what we're talking about today, is what do I need to set up in my estate to make sure that I don't leave a mess behind? And so so the financial power of attorney and the third document, a healthcare power of attorney, both of those documents are what happens if I experience an illness, an incapacitation, something during my lifetime where someone else needs to help me. So a majority of your documents that we create are actually during your lifetime documents. They're not just if you die. So in one sense, dying is easier than it is actually living through a longer period of time where you need assistance. So the third document then is a healthcare power of attorney. And I think most people intuitively know what that document is, which is if I cannot communicate to a doctor, or a doctor determines that I do not appreciate the severity or the nature of the conversation and the decision being presented to me, then they need to look to someone else to say, where do we go? Now, for a lot of times, many people just simply take the doctor's advice, and that's great to trust your physicians and to move in that direction. However, if there ever becomes a time when you go, that is not what my loved one would want, that is not the direction we want to move, and it becomes counter to what the doctors are advising, then oftentimes they will stop the process and say, then I need to see a power of attorney in order to take your direction against my medical advice. So people get really confused with medical power of attorneys, which is, well, but, you know, my aunt was in the hospital and everything just went smooth and she didn't have a medical power of attorney. That's probably because the family was just agreeing with whatever the doctors were saying. So there are certain times, because unfortunately behind the doctors and the clinics and the hospitals, there are attorneys at work. So that's unfortunate, but their job is to protect the hospital. Their job is to protect the doctor and to make sure that they don't get sued with medical malpractice, right? And so at some point in the process, if you are going to say that's not the direction we want you to move for this person's medical care, then they should rightfully stop the process and say, then we need to see the legal authority that we can follow your direction instead of following our medical best practice or our medical advice. So if indeed you do not have a medical power of attorney and there was an issue that came to a head and you don't have that document, then you are stalling potential medical care, or you're calling me and saying, oh my gosh, what do we do? And the answer is, I got to go get an emergency medical power of attorney from a court. And that is extremely expensive and doesn't move as fast as you think. So the simple answer is everyone needs to do their estate plan. We need to have your will or trust, your financial power of attorney, and your medical power of attorney. And since we're up against a break, we'll come back and we'll finish off this part of the discussion.
Okay. Well, people are intrigued. They want to make sure that they have an easy transition in their life and they need some help. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, so there's a lot of things that you can learn from the past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us and upcoming educational opportunities, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at one of the most important questions people ask when they come in to see Paul. I want to have it smooth. I want to have an easy transition when I pass away from my loved ones, those I leave behind. And Paul is discussing that this week.
And really, one of the bigger gaps is, how do I create a smooth transition? Should I need assistance during my lifetime? Because that's caring about you. So even out of self-preservation, you need an estate plan, let alone out of any assets that may remain, how do those smoothly transition? So we've talked about three out of the four major documents, which is a will or a trust. We've talked about a financial power of attorney. And the third document that everybody absolutely needs is a medical power of attorney. So all three of those are non-negotiables. You must have those documents. And the fourth one is an end-of-life document. And sometimes attorneys use one document actually for all of these different financial, for the medical, and for the end of life. I don't think that that's proper to do. That's just my opinion. It doesn't mean that it won't legally be recognized, but I may need a medical power of attorney, so why would I want to show a doctor the financial power of attorney? So if they're combined all in one, which used to be the practice back in the 90s, and somehow that template of using one document for all of these issues is still out in the marketplace for some reason, I believe that because there are different statutes in Washington law, that we need different documents to properly address them. And just functionality-wise, they're different issues. So if you go to the bank, you need a financial power of attorney. You don't need to have your health care language mixed into that document just to muddy the waters. And so therefore, in my system, I believe that it is a better process to have multiple documents, one for each circumstance based upon what we're facing. And so the last one is an end-of-life decision. And that means that if I have an incurable injury, disease, or illness, if I am in a unconscious permanent state and doctors have said that that these issues are going to then take my life in a very short period of time, then I need to give directions to what does that mean? So what does it mean should I experience an end-of-life circumstance, and how long do I want to remain on life support? What type of treatment and medical care do I want to have? And so those issues then need to be addressed in a separate document, a living will. So in other words, I'm alive, but my end is near. So I don't know where we came up with the terminology of living will, but that's what it's called. So those are the four major documents that every individual absolutely needs. There is a fifth one if you have minor children, which is a guardianship. And so we need to have guardianship documents prepared that should you die or become incapacitated during your lifetime and you have minor children, that is a critical document.
Special needs kid.
Or if you have court authority over someone who is an adult, absolutely. And so so giving instructions towards those who are under your care is absolutely critical. And so that could be a fifth document should you have minor children. So there's definitively four documents that everybody needs. And that fifth document may play a role pending your circumstance, pending your family. And so those are the major documents that everyone needs in order to have a smooth transition. And really, any estate planner can assist get those documents to you. And so if we're talking about a smooth transition, then I would want to make sure that any attorney you use is actually well qualified, does estate planning as a majority, if not their sole practice. So for me, it is the only thing I do. And so therefore, I spend a lot of time on my documents, updating, making sure current law is in them. It is an unfortunate part of my practice that I see documents that I can recognize these were just templates. The proper law has not been updated in quite some time. And oftentimes those documents are only a couple years old. So really ask good questions before you actually move forward with an estate planner of your choice. Find out how much time they spend in estate planning. Find out when's the last time that you reviewed the law and that you actually made sure that your documents are complying with the most current up-to-date law. You know what? Don't be afraid to offend the attorney. You're about ready to trust them with your entire family and possibly with your entire life. It is fair to ask a couple questions. You can be nice in doing it. So if Jesus sat down before me, I'm sure he'd ask some very intelligent questions, but I'm sure he'd be nice about it too. So just be nice, but ask questions. Don't just because they have attorney on their board or on their building or on their website that you just automatically take them at full face. Make sure that they're going to be the right attorney for you and your family. And it's really important. Go ahead, ask a couple questions. I'm not offended when people ask me questions. And so if your attorney is offended, then that may be a strong indication that they're not the right attorney for you and your family. But just don't take them carte blanche, please.
Okay. Well, so then are there any non-legal documents someone needs?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of non-legal documents that are in my system. Unfortunately, I rarely see them come across my desk from other attorneys. But let's talk about some of the things that really families should have at their disposal. Because look, here's the deal. If we talk about a smooth transition and we say, I want to set my family up, or I want to set whoever is going to care for me, I want to set them up with the best knowledge and the smoothest transition, then we need to have documents. First of all, we need to have documents that do that. So they need to be clear. They need to be concise. And they need to be expressive enough to actually give the guidance. So I use this a lot, this analogy, which is, have you ever shopped at IKEA? Now, all the women out there are going, yes. And all the men just took their hand and put it on their forehead and closed their eyes. And so, men, I'm sorry if you've been drugged to IKEA, because that means that you have to open up the box and build everything. And so, but when you open up that box, and because you love your wife or you love your kids, you take them to IKEA and you spend good money just to build something. Inside of that box is a couple pieces of paper, and what they have are stick figures on how to build this majestic piece of artwork that known as some piece of furniture that you just bought. Now, the problem with IKEA is that the instructions are so poor that you can't line up the stick figures correctly. Now, Mark keeps laughing here, so obviously he has been to IKEA, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so, Mark, is any part of this story inaccurate so far?
You're right on.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
And then if it's in Dutch or whatever, that's even worse.
Okay, so now we don't even have it in English. So yeah. We're expected to take stick figures and line up this piece of woodwork and actually come out with a proper conclusion. Now, maybe what what many of my listeners don't know is that is that back in my 30s, I actually flipped homes, and I actually did an entire remodels. I did the electrical work. Mm. I did the plumbing. Now, remember, I own the home, so it was okay for me to do this. And I painted. I ripped out kitchens, put in kitchens. So I did everything. And I am telling you, in all honesty, I have a problem sometimes following IKEA instructions. So let me ask you, do you want an estate plan that resembles IKEA, or would you rather have something that gives expressive communication and uses more sentences and examples and other things to give direction to your loved ones? So everything that we're trying to do is to give expression to those who are going to care for you. Expression if we can't actually ask you a question anymore because of an incapacitation or because you passed away. And so if the documents are templated, I'm asking you an honest question, which is that IKEA? And what I've come to the legal conclusion of, yeah, that's pretty close, because the templates are usually tax-driven instead of family-driven. And now I have a problem with the document before me. So be careful of who you align yourself with. And there's many other documents in our system that are trying to give strong direction to other people, and we're just not going to get to it. So there's the teaser. You got to come back next week to follow up with these things.
Okay, we want an easy transition when we pass away, or like Paul has been reminding us, maybe in your life you're going to need some help. If you have a health issue of some kind, and you need to have the right documents in place. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, do not go to IKEA. And number two is head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, ways to get educated, upcoming education sessions, and ways to communicate with us, all at legacyandfaith.com.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.